It is fantastic to welcome in to Static on 2SER this evening. Sasami, how's things?
Oh, they're good.
It's just a hop, skip and a jump from LA to get here, right?
Yeah, I drugged myself and woke up in Sydney, so it wasn't so bad.
Are you a Los Angeles native?
Yeah, I was born there, grew up there. I went to school in New York, but I'm an LA broad.
That's more and more rare. It seems like these days more people are moving to LA to be musicians.
Yeah,
so you've
true.
Watched this tidal wave of people come in the past.
Well, I haven't, because I haven't been in LA for the last couple of years, because I've been on tour pretty nonstop. Like, I haven't even paid rent in LA since 2016.
That's a good scam.
Yeah, exactly. It's the ultimate scam, the tour life, no rent scam.
Because you've done a lot of scamming or touring and all sorts of things
over the
years.
I'm a real scam artist.
I mean, your CV is incredible, even before you've put out your debut album.
It's because I'm old.
No, come on. It's because you've been busy.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it's pretty impressive. Like, you've done all sorts of things, from playing French horn orchestrations. You did that as a teenager?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you've played on a whole lot of other people's records, like A.B. Buffalo and Wild Nothing and Curtis Harding. And even, as you say, you've done some tour life with Cherry Glazer. So do you kind of feel like a jack of all trades by now?
I just feel like I'm a blue-collar musician, you know? I just put on my outfit and I go to work every day. Like, not in a negative way. Someone was, like, really offended that I said that the other day. They're like, music is a privilege. It's not a job. And I'm like, it is a job. It's just my dream job, and I'm living it. You know,
there's no
shame
in that. It's also not a privilege when you're toiling and earning no money for so many years as well.
True. I put in the work, you know. Now I'm on top. I'm here on this radio station.
Do you feel like that? Like, did it feel like a lot of sweat over those years, especially when you're playing in other people's bands or contributing to other people's records?
I think it was just so much learning. You know, it's just like anything else where, like, I felt like an intern to the music world for years and years, just like learning every little thing, like mic techniques even, or like how monitors work and all those things, so that I could get to the point where I'm like super confident and this is like my space and I understand how everything works, you know, like how does an arrangement work? Is it better to record strings separate or all together? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is it better to record things live or to overdub? Like, all these things are just, like, things that I learned and that I've been learning for the last couple of years.
But were you treating it like an apprenticeship by choice, or was part of you also thinking, when's it going to be my turn?
I wasn't one of those kids that had, like, a hairbrush microphone in the mirror at all. I was just, like, a music nerd. Like, look, I'm a classical
You've got
nerd.
A Brahms tattoo.
Yeah. I'm, like, I went to school for French horn. I had, like, calluses on my hand in middle school from lugging around a big French horn case, you know. I was not cool.
So being in the orchestra teaches you that everyone's part of the band, does
yeah.
it?
There's
no special treatment.
It's interesting. I feel like I learned so much of, like, producing and, like, mixing from being in an orchestra, because you really have to be aware of everyone that's playing. You know, you have to, like, be aware of where you fit into things, whereas I think people who grow up and they're like, I'm a rock star, they have to learn the opposite way. They have to learn how to, like, then incorporate and use the resources correctly to, like, make their vision come to life. But I feel like I did it the opposite way. I, like, learned how to maneuver all the parts. So now that I'm doing my own thing, it's, like, super natural to, like, work with other people and know when I shouldn't work with other people and stuff like that.
Yeah, in the orchestra, there's no bass player saying my parts should be louder, right?
Exactly. It's just like, well, there may be a conductor that's like, shut up, let the bass shine or whatever, you know.
So, Sasami, how did you get noticed in the end then? Was it a slow process to get this record of your own out?
I started making it when I was still in Cherry Glazer. I had never intended even making an album. I think I had mentioned, like, I haven't paid rent since 2016. So every time I went home to LA, I just used my rent money to go into the studio. And I had a lot of experience working on, like, Pro Tools and Logic and stuff, but I wanted to record analog because I wanted to just come in for 2 days, record, and, like, have the song close to finished and not have a bunch of playlists with, like, a bunch of options. I wanted to, like, kind of go in, commit, record it to tape, print it, you know.
Like being in a live orchestra or something.
Yeah,
you go in,
exactly.
You do it, and you get out.
And I didn't want it to be this, like, kind of overly laborious process. I wanted it to be, like, really in the moment. Like, when I wrote the songs, it was a lot like that. So just over a year, I just had spent, like, 2 days here, 3 days here. And then by the end, I had spent so much money, I was like, shit, I better, like, get some label to reimburse me because this is not cheap.
So you had that drive, like, you wanted people to hear it and you was kind of ready to do your own record?
Yeah, I mean, I needed to pay myself back, so that's what I'm doing here, you know? Just put my blue shirt on. I'm here at work to pay my debts.
And do you think also, I mean, the way you recorded it, as you say, you wanted to do it analog. Did it make you make quicker decisions as well?
Yeah, definitely. And also just do my homework before I get into the studio. Like, I pretty much had all the arrangements figured out. I don't know, like, I talked to my friend Mitski is a musician, and she actually uses, like, sheet music when she's writing. Like, she'll actually, like, because she studied composition also. And I don't really do that, but I definitely hear all the arrangements in my head and put them into GarageBand on my phone or whatever before I go into the studio. So when I go in, I'm like, okay, these are the things I need to track because I already know. There's a couple things here and there that changed in the studio, but I'm definitely not the kind of musician that comes in and is like, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Let's
in
all
there.
Be spontaneous.
Yeah. I was just kind of like, okay, this is going to be $400 today. So like, I need to like know what I'm doing when I get in there.
If anything, that seems to have made the album more tempered. I mean, you've embraced the slow pace of songs like At Hollywood and also Adult Contemporary and Free are really sort of hushed and gentle, where you're aware of making it a very, the word minimal sounds wrong, but a very sort of, all the sounds on it sound quite essential.
Yeah, like I said, I made the songs so separate from each other that they were, I really focused on them all individually. And didn't really think about necessarily how they fit with the pacing. So, like, for example, Hollywood, one thing that happened was I love being in the studio so much that I was really procrastinating, like, when my record was done. So, for example, I was supposed to go into the studio to mix a song, but I wrote a song at, like, 3 a.m. and, like, finished it in the car on the way to the studio, and it was At Hollywood. And I was like, instead of mixing, can we just, like, record this really fast? I had this quick idea.
That was you just handing your homework at the last
exactly.
moment.
Exactly. I was like, actually, why don't we just do this really fast? You know, and that ended up being a song. And actually, probably, like, 5 of the songs were like that. That's why I ended up having, like, 13 or 14 tracks, because I was just, like, in the morning process of finishing the record, and I was just, like, procrastinating it, you know.
On the flip side, a song like Morning Comes has this sort of loping bass line and sort of almost motorik krautrock groove.
Yeah.
So you were kind of having fun with putting a few pulses on the record as well.
That was the first song I ever wrote.
Wow.
So that was the first song going in. I was listening to a lot of like Noi and a lot of like Broadcast and kind of kraut inspired Can, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I was kind of into making a rock song. That was like the first rock song I ever wrote, you know. I did a lot of instrumental compositions for commercials and stuff like that, but that was the first like actual song I wrote.
Wow. Do any of those commercials ever say we need a song like Noi but just 30 seconds?
Actually, yeah, I did score something for, do you know the brand Nixon? They're like a watch company. They're kind of related to like the surf world, but I ended up scoring this thing, and one of the songs is this song that's in 7, and I like definitely ripped off a Can beat. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, it's like this like kind of.
But it wasn't sound alike enough to get you sued either.
No,
you've been very careful.
And there was no vocals on it. It was just like a guitar score.
It's also great to see that to get this record over the line to some of you've still called in some of your mates to stick their heads on the record. You
definitely.
Know, Soko's on a song, and Dustin from Beach Hostels, and Meg from Hand Habits, and Devendra Banhart. So were you kind of aware of also asking them when you needed them to contribute something very specific to a song and not just sort of have a roll call of all your friends? Like, did they all bring certain aspects to the record that you didn't think you could handle yourself?
Definitely. I mean, I purposefully didn't play all the instruments on the record because I wanted to keep that producer hat on and be able to kind of have perspective. When you're in it and you're doing like 500 takes on the guitar, it's really hard for you to sit back and be like, actually, that guitar shouldn't even be in. You know what I mean? So like, I wanted to be able to have the humility to like let go of certain parts. So if I didn't play them, I was like, you know, I'm not like emotionally attached to that part, even though I wrote it. So the same thing with like, I feel like it's such a thing that men make records and they're like, oh, I really want like a female voice on this. And so I kind of flipped the script and I was like, I think I want a dude voice on this.
Dude, yeah, it's tokenistic.
Yeah. And so I've always been a fan of Devendra singing, and I'm a huge fan of Beach Fossils. And so and that's the funny thing too. Like, I didn't bring him in to like contribute his guitar playing. I just wanted his male voice on it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the other help you've got is your brother on the record, Juju, who I was excited to find out's in Froth.
Yeah.
So have you, you know, you must have watched bands like that as well and taken a few notes
definitely.
On how you even wanted to then roll out your record or,
definitely.
You know, you must know everything already by now.
Well, I grew up in Los Angeles going to the Smell and going to the Echo and going to punk shows while I was studying classical music. So I always had my roots in rock music. I went to an arts high school in LA and a lot of my friends were in bands and
Yeah, and even the people that aren't on the record, I've seen photos of you rolling with the likes of Mitski and Empress Ive and King Tuffy. You're going to have so many more mates after you put this record out and tour it yourself as well, right?
Well, I just think that because I've been a professional touring musician for a couple of years, it just has happened that all my friends are the same, because it's like the same way that a dentist would be like, oh, I put a crown on this mate and he was squirming, blah, blah. I'd be like, ah, oh, the sound guy like wouldn't let me set up my own pedals. You know, you end up like kind of manifesting this friend group of people that you can just talk to super candidly about
really specific things.
You know, and I'm from LA. So like, there's just so many musicians around all the time.
Well, now that you've been to Australia, you can make friends with a few more musicians here and keep coming back.
I'm excited to go to Melbourne. I actually know some musicians over there. I don't know any in Sydney. If there are any musicians out there in Sydney.
We'll fix that up. No trouble. Yeah. We might have a listen to the closing song off the record.
Cool.
We'll play Turned Out I Was Everyone.
Awesome.
It was so great to have you here, Sasami. We'll see you back again at some point, I guess, with a band and a proper tour.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
For now, thanks for the chat. This is Sasami on Static. Thanks.